92.3 with Brian Wade and J.R. Williams.
Here on News Talk 102.3 and AM 1240, as we say a big old hearty good morning to Linda Krill, who is the author of a new book called Blind Curves. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Great to have you on the program. We appreciate your time.
Glad to be with you.
Glad we could get you off the Harley long enough.
Yes, when the weather's nice, it's hard to stay home.
Yeah, I bet. Well, so tell me a little bit about your story. The book, or the memoir, I guess I should say, is called Blind Curves, which is perhaps appropriate given what you went through.
Well, there's times in all of our lives where things suddenly change and aren't the same, and I lost a husband to cancer, and I followed all the advice from experts on how to put life back together. In fact, I overachieved at it. And 18 months later, I was still miserable, and I was saying to myself, if all this great advice doesn't work, I might as well learn to do something stupid and do the opposite, and I threatened to learn to ride a Harley.
You threatened?
I threatened, and I was being sarcastic. I'm a bicycle rider. I ride 120 miles a week on my bicycle, and I was a tree hugger and a greenie, and I always thought motorcycles were loud and dangerous and unnecessary. And so I was just saying it just to be rebellious for a different change. But it's very dangerous to put out a high intention out there into the universe, because the universe doesn't understand sarcasm.
No. So what happened? I mean, next thing you know, you're taking a course, or what?
Well, not that quickly. The next day I had lunch with a friend of mine, and I had been in the corporate world, and I was an expert at teaching people how to manage change, which was why it was so embarrassing that I couldn't get my life to come back together. And he said to me, Linda, tell me the truth. How are things right now? And I said, I'm miserable. And I said, it's even to the point that I've threatened to learn to ride a Harley. And I said it just to be joking. And he looks at me and starts to laugh, and he says, Linda, don't you know I organize motorcycle trips all over the world for executives once a year? And I said, you're a Hell's Angel? He says, no, we're doctors, we're lawyers, we're business people. And we need you on the next trip. And I'm going, no. No, that's not me. That's not me.
Turns out it was you, though, huh?
Well, you know, one of the things I always said to corporate customers when I would work on them, with them on how to make their businesses stronger, is Einstein has a favorite saying that we all quote him, and it says, doing more of the same and expecting different results is insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate consultants that give out advice but don't use it themselves. And I said to myself, Linda, when are you finally going to do something different? You've already overachieved at following advice. You're miserable. It's time to do something different. And so I signed up for the class to learn to ride a motorcycle, but I only had 30 days to learn. And this is part where not knowing what you're doing is sort of helpful, because it was sort of an insane idea that 30 days after you sit on a motorcycle for the first time, you're on a full-size Harley with 50 pounds of luggage on a 2,500-mile road trip.
Goodness.
And but the trip was, we were going to fly out to Vancouver, Canada, and rent Harleys. And then we would go to Victoria Island and do the coast of Washington, Oregon, and Northern California.
Mm.
And the Pacific Northwest, I mean, Redwoods, you know,
yeah.
The Wine Valley of California, Crater Lake, you know, the Columbia River Valley. I mean, how can you say no to things like that?
Yeah. Did you guys fly, or did you end up riding up there? You said 2,500 miles.
Well, we flew out to Vancouver, and we rented the bikes there, and we left from Vancouver, and we did this loop of 2,500 miles down to California and then back up to Vancouver again.
Golly.
So I'm on a brand new motorcycle that I've never ridden on before, and I wasn't even smart enough to get on the bike and do a couple times around the parking lot. And as an experienced rider, there's no way I would get on a motorcycle and jump right out into Vancouver rush hour traffic. But that's what I did.
Jeez. Talk about nerves, huh?
Well, you know, this is one of the things. You know, the book is not the typical go-get-it, you know, I love to ride a motorcycle book. It is a book about what happens when you really do something that's outside of your comfort zone. And one of the things, I had so many lessons on this. I thought I was going to escape. I was so tired of looking at people who would approach me as if I were damaged goods. I mean, nobody knows what to say to a widow. And they would come to me, and their voices would be cooing, and their eyes would be like sad puppy dog looks. books. And as soon as I said I was going to learn to ride a motorcycle, people quit treating me that way. Instead, they started looking at me as like, she must be insane.
Yeah, really.
Because a 57-year-old widow, that's not what you expect her to do. You expect her, you know, I had knitted 60 scarves. You know, I had immersed myself in local activities. But none of that was working. And so it was the opposite of the advice we give of someone who's had a loss. And we all have losses in our lives. So I don't want this book to be, oh, look at what Linda did. We all have the unwanted, unknown, unexpected that happens in our life. And we all get to that place where we're ready to move forward and rebuild it. And that's the book I couldn't find. How do you move forward when nothing feels right? And that's why I call this Blind Curves. And I said it's one woman's journey to reinvent herself and answer that question, what now, is a hard one for many of us to answer. When the next move isn't obvious, I mean, someone gets laid off from a job, you know, we find out our health is threatened by a disease, you know, someone we love, something happens to, we don't know how to move forward sometimes. And that question, what now, is a hard one to answer.
So it wasn't so much about, riding a motorcycle in as much as it was about you just stepping out and doing something different.
Exactly. And so a lot of the people that are reading my book are not motorcycle riders, and they're loving it because it inspires them. It says, oh, my God. And we forget what it's like to do something new. I mean, we watch a baby learn how to walk, and they fall down, and we pick them up, and we brush off their knees and say, that's okay. We expect you to fail. But we, as adults, often when we try something new, forget that failure is a part of it. And the Harley course I took, I failed it. In fact, I failed the DMV test the next 3 or 4 days in a row before I finally passed it. And, you know, when you fail a course, you know, this is someone who usually can take anything and pass it. And I had one of the highest grades in the class, but I was an overachiever, and I wanted to have an even better grade. And on the last exercise, I overbraked the bike. And nobody taught us in the class that if you overbrake a motorcycle, it's going to dump you because the tires stop, but the motorcycle doesn't. And I ended up falling over in the final exam. And so my pride was hurt.
Imagine.
Nobody wanted to fail the widow. I mean, my poor instructor was a 3-time war veteran who used to teach tank drivers. And he came over, and when he picked the motorcycle up off of me and tried to help me to my feet, he couldn't get the words out of his mouth that said, Linda, you failed. And I said, here's a guy who's used to, you know, facing all sorts of things in combat, but what does he say to me?
Yeah.
And I looked up, and I felt like I should apologize to him for putting him in that position. Well, but the book is full of these kinds of things that remind us as adults that when we go out and try something new, what's about it? And one of the most exciting things I discovered is the day I finally did pass the Department of Motor Vehicles test and I got my license, that was the happiest day I'd have had since my husband had died.
Mm.
And we don't think of that. You know, pampering is one thing, but sometimes testing ourselves, pushing ourselves to try to do something that's hard, we start to realize, oh, my God, there's a lot. You know, I can trust Linda again. She's rough. She can handle stuff. She can handle setbacks. And so, to me, the joy that comes when we do something we think we can't is so different from when we do something we know we can do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's almost like, when you got that motorcycle license, you got a, not to sound cliche, but really a license to keep on living. And
that's exactly right. And we all get to that place. I mean, when we lose a job and you get laid off or fired or, you know, or something happens with your health, I went through breast cancer as well. I mean, suddenly, I always trusted my body, and suddenly I can't trust my body because, you know, how did I get this cancer? You know, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to. So that point in time where you pull back and you say, wait a minute, you know, you wonder whether the earth is a safe place to be. That pushing ourselves and finding out that, yes, I can fail, but look, I can also go on and go forward again. And I think that's what we all learn when we continue to move forward with life, even when it doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm. Man. So where can folks get a copy of the book?
The book is found online on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. It's in ebook form. It's in softback form. And many of the bookstores have it, and they certainly will order it if you ask them to.
All right. It's called Blind Curves. The website is great, by the way. I'm looking at that right now.
Right.
And
right.
You can also get more information there. You do a lot of public speaking, and as you said, corporate America, too, huh?
Yes, yes. We're all looking at how to keep up with this hyper-changing world around us. We all knew we were going to grow older someday, but we didn't think we were going to grow older in a world that keeps leaving us behind. And so I'm out there helping people figure out what do we do to keep moving forward.
Well, Linda, we certainly do appreciate your time this morning, and boy, look forward to checking the book out.
And it's an easy read, and it's a fun read, so it's not a self-help book. I wanted to write a story that people would want to take with them and just sit down and take, enjoy life. And so everybody that has been reading it has been giving it that kind of review, that it's a fun book to read.
Now, I got to ask, and I think I know the answer to this. You're still writing, right?
Oh, of course, I'm still writing.
Yeah,
but on a nice day, now I said, we can only have so many toys. I look at my bicycle, I look at my motorcycle, and then people said, don't you want a kayak? I said, no, I already have too many toys.
Yeah, really, you can only do one thing at a time anyway, huh?
That's right.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Well, Linda, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And all the best to you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
By 8:54 here on News Talk 102.3 and AM 1240 as we slowly begin to wind things down here. Hey, don't forget Humphrey Pete. Humphrey Pete's. oh, I talked about skillets already this morning, didn't I? Yeah, good stuff over there with their big boy breakfast special. Oh, man, talk about getting your fill. Care Nursing and Rehab at 646-5521, 646-5521, ready to serve you and your loved ones in their time of need. And we're not talking about just long-term care. They offer, three different style of rooms, small private, semi-private, and large private, for long-term care, but they also offer short-term rehab stays. So if you've got a loved one who's been in an accident, maybe suffered a stroke or something and needs some extra attention, some rehab, well, they offer short-term rehab stays as well as long-term care at Care Nursing and Rehab, where their name really does say it all. They also have their independent apartment living complex. So if you've got a loved one who's ready to downsize but still loves all that independence, well, there you go. Offering two meals a day, covered parking, water and electricity is paid, emergency lifeline, and all kinds of stuff available there. Care Nursing and Rehab, 646-5521. Call them and let's get those arrangements made now, huh? Sure would be easier than when the time comes and you're forced to make that decision. Again, Care Nursing and Rehab, 646-5521. Well, Texas Comptroller Susan Combs says she is done. She announced yesterday she'll not seek election to any office in 2014, which, of course, opened the door for several Republicans who have already expressed interest in replacing her. Combs was long considered a potential candidate for lieutenant governor once David Dewhurst vacated the office, but last year Dewhurst, of course, lost his bid to the U.S. Senate, losing to Ted Cruz, and is running for re-election against at least two challengers in the March 4th Republican primary. So Dewhurst is going to be trying to get that position back. And Combs says, nah, I'm done. She made her announcement four Republicans thanked her for her service and announced they were exploring campaigns for comptroller. State Senator Glenn Hager, a Republican from Katy, said he intends to run. Quote, I think it's important to have someone in the comptroller's office who understands the importance of keeping Texas as an economic engine. In this last legislative session, I had the opportunity of being the point person in the Senate dealing with everything that had to do with fiscal matters policy.